The following recording is copyright 2014, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
One of the principles of physics is that nature abhors a vacuum. One of my brothers and his wife have a plaque on their wall that says, "Thirst is a dangerous thing." Most sins are wrong-headed attempts to meet some thirst, some genuine need or desire by wrongful means. Looking for love in all the wrong places, the pursuit of power as if that could make us happy, or possessions as if that could make us happy, or prestige as if that could fulfill our inner thirst for meaning and purpose. And the needier we become, the more we try to satisfy our needs in wrongful ways, the more alienated we become from ourselves, from others, and from God. And here I'm not just talking about desires. I'm talking about needs. Food, clothing, and shelter are needs. They're not just desires. So also is love a need, and self-worth, and security. Those are needs. In today's gospel, we have Jesus' encounter with a very needy woman. Why does this woman go to the well at noon? Everyone else goes early in the morning while it's still cool. But she's apparently trying to avoid them. And so she braves the heat and comes at the very time of day when she's least likely to run into anybody else at the well. She prefers the physical discomfort of the midday heat to the chill of other people's rejection. She's a very needy woman who has had bad luck with men. She's already married 5 losers. And now she's not even married to her latest prize. And in a small town like hers, or I suppose like in Wynn, word gets around. Jesus asks her for a drink, but he already knows that she's the thirsty one. Thirsty for acceptance, thirsty, hungry for a life worth living, starving with needs that really only God can fill. And so Jesus proceeds to tell her where she could go and what she could do to meet those needs. Have you ever noticed that Jesus seems to pick the most unlikely people with whom to discuss theology? He kind of reminds me of Pope Francis. Jesus challenges people, those who think of themselves as having it all together. He challenges those who view themselves as upstanding and righteous and God-fearing, but who have this attitude of rejecting others who they think are inferior. His message to them is, shape up your lives. Get your act in order. And they're the ones who are doing everything right in their own estimation. Those they reject may have moral issues or understandings of doctrine that are wrong-headed, but God does love them just the same. And then Jesus turns right around and without any challenge to her notorious marital status and doctrinal confusion, to engage this troubled woman in one of the most theologically rich conversations in the entire Bible. And the most amazing thing is that unlike the righteous people, she's up to it. Where the religious people refused to accept Jesus because they had decided that they didn't need what he had to offer, this broken woman knew she was needy. Nature abhors a vacuum, and she was empty, and she knew it. And so she was thirsty for the new life Jesus had to offer. And he offered to quench that dangerous thirst, that inner thirst that had gotten her into so much trouble before, with divine grace. What Jesus describes figuratively as living water, a fountain within, leaping up to provide eternal life. And then having filled her with this grace, with God's power and light, Jesus and this woman go on to discuss worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And then Jesus tells her that he is the long-awaited Messiah. First, she feels loved by God. It's only once she feels loved that she's now ready for the next step, solid doctrine. Solid doctrine that is not just a matter of theological interest, but rather doctrine that really makes a difference in her sense of self and in the meaning of her life going forward. And then she goes on to evangelize her neighbors. This woman, who was an outcast in the eyes of her neighbors and doctrinally dubious in the eyes of the Jews, gave such eloquent, grace-filled witness to Jesus that even those who had looked down on her came to believe. First on the strength of her own witness to Jesus, and then especially as her words were verified by what they themselves then heard Jesus say and do. You and I, all of us, are like that Samaritan woman. We too have a thirst that only Jesus can satisfy, a need for love that will truly set us free. Only once we truly experience God's love, and once we are empowered by the Holy Spirit in confirmation, like those first disciples at first Pentecost, Jesus then sends us forth to do what that woman did, to evangelize others, starting with our neighbors. In our Mass this morning, as we celebrate confirmation, we have a double purpose. One is to give these gifts of the Holy Spirit and then send forth those we will be confirming today. But then also to pray that the Lord rekindle the grace of this sacrament in those of us who were confirmed in the past. So that rekindled this grace, we too will go forth with renewed enthusiasm to share the gifts we've received with others. And so I'd like to kind of go just briefly what we'll be doing now in the ceremony itself. Put it in everybody's short-term memory. In just a moment, I'm going to invite those to be confirmed and only those to be confirmed to stand. And I'll lead you all in the renewal of your baptismal promises. Now, these are the promises that your parents and godparents made on your behalf when you were baptized. And in most cases, when you're too little to speak for yourself. Okay? And so it'll just be the seven of you. And there's some kind of older people here that are hard of hearing. So you need to be really loud in renewing your baptismal promises. And we'll do it in both English and in Spanish. You know, in the original Pentecost, they went forth proclaiming the good news in 15 different languages. We'll just settle for two in our Mass today, okay? And all of you know that sí means yes in Spanish. And of course, I do is the English response. And we need all of our voice, all of your seven voices, proclaiming in both languages, two languages, but one shared faith. And if you don't know Spanish, you're just going to have to trust me that it really is something you can say sí to, okay? And then after that, I'll invite your parents, your sponsors, to stand and put their hand on your shoulder. And then you all bow your heads, and then I and Father have a prayer we say, invoking the Holy Spirit, asking God to fill you with the seven gifts. And then after that, we have the anointing with the sacred chrism. And so I'll come down front and center, and you come forward with your sponsor, and you ask me to confirm you. Tell me who you are with your confirmation name, and ask me to confirm you. My name is Sebastian. Please confirm me. I have chosen Mary. I would like to be confirmed. Okay? Whatever language you use to introduce yourself to me in will be the language I confirm you in. So if you want to be confirmed in Spanish, simply introduce yourself to me in Spanish. Tell me who you are and what you want. And then after that, I take the sacred chrism, and on your forehead, I make a little cross, and I say, Anthony, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I'm going to leave my thumb stuck on your forehead until you say amen. Okay? Then I say, peace be with you, and you say, and with your spirit, make just a little hug, and then you go around, and the next person comes up. Sound like a plan? Okay. Will those to be confirmed, and only those to be confirmed, please stand.